9.1%. How do you like that? That's how much prices are up in the last year under Joe Biden. President Joe Biden. What a winner he is, right? I mean, just almost single-handedly here ruining the American economy. Well, he, along with Jerome Powell and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. But, you know, there's something bigger going on because it's not just the economy that they're ruining. They're ruining everything. Just look at the mismanagement of everything from the economy to the border to, for goodness sakes, you know, the whole baby formula crisis. It's like these people just can't get out of their own way. And I know why. I do know why. And I'm going to share that with you. Welcome to the show. I'm Trish. Great to have you here. Do subscribe to this channel. Make sure you do me that favor. Make sure you subscribe to the full audio podcast on Apple iTunes or on Spotify. Portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals than right now. So go to legacypminvestments.com for more. Again, that's legacypminvestments.com for more. Anyway, 9.1%. We're going to get to some more reasons behind that. I actually think it's even worse than the 9.1% official read. But before we do that, let's talk about why this is all so messed up. I mean, everybody knows it. Everybody feels it. The country's in a really, really bad spot. And I think the reason really comes down to this. You have a bunch of inexperienced people. Now you say, oh, you know, Joe Biden's been in Washington, D.C. forever. Sure, but he still lacks experience in that he doesn't have the executive chops that one would need to be the president of the United States. He doesn't have the leadership chops. He doesn't have the, you know, get up and go that maybe a younger person might have. Not that I'm an ageist, but, you know, the guy's 79 years old. And so all of these things combined, they're a problem. But you see, it's not just him. The team around him is really, really lacking. I mean, heck, you got speechwriters that are writing total blunders in Joe Biden's speech in San Antonio. Dr. Jill, really offending a lot of people. If you watch yesterday's podcast, you heard what she said, which included, you know, the Hispanic community coming out, the Journalist Association saying, hey, wait a second, we're not tacos. So, I mean, it's a ragtag team. And I suspect the real reason for it being so poorly performing comes back to this. And that's that nobody there has actually had a real job, like ever. I mean, on average, and my friend, the economist Steve Moore over at the Committee to Unleash Prosperity did an analysis of this. He and his team, they looked at the education and the professional backgrounds of all the people in the White House, in the administration right now. And what they found is all the top people have, like, on average, 2, maybe 2.5 years of actual work experience. Think about that. All these people, they come from academia and law and politics. They haven't actually had real jobs or run businesses. And I think that is the main differentiating factor between what you saw in the Trump administration and what you see now. In fact, in the Trump administration, the average number of years that people had worked in the private sector in real jobs at real businesses, 13 years. So contrast that with Biden's green team. Green is in their inexperienced, although, you know, green as well in terms of how they feel on energy, et cetera. His team has 2, 2.5. All right. So we're just not dealing with the best and the brightest, shall we say. But politics is what it is. The best and the brightest don't really have a whole lot of desire, I think, to be in the field, given what it's become. But this is one of the reasons why Americans responded so positively in ways that the media didn't expect to President Trump being on the scene. I mean, when he announced that he was running and he was talking kind of normal speak about policy issues that were really relevant, people said, well, wait a second, he's run a business. He knows how this works. And I think that because of that, there was more faith, more trust. I mean, Ross Perot, another great example going way, way, way back, right? To when I was a little kid and people were so frustrated with how our economy was faring. And Ross Perot came out of nowhere and said, look, I can fix it. And he was running as an independent, which was part of the problem. He couldn't really get there. But you see that response, right? Because Americans, I think when push comes to shove, you know, we're actually not that left or right. We are pretty down the middle and fair and logical, and we expect a lot from our leaders. We expect that they've got a clue. But this old team, my gosh, they can't get from point A to point B. And these latest inflation numbers, they absolutely prove it. My gosh, 9.1%. More on that in a minute. But before I get to that, I want to just give a quick shout out to one of our great sponsors, Legacy Precious Metals. You know, gold is one of those investments that I look at as something to hold long term. I consider it personally a great way to help hedge inflation. It's one of those instruments that you can look to. And so it's one of the reasons I encourage people to say, hey, make sure you're diversified. And part of that diversification plan should include something like precious metals. Now at Legacy Precious Metals, they are helping you figure out this sometimes kind of complicated space. I mean, you could buy a gold-backed IRA, which is a great way to hedge some inflation. You could buy the actual gold itself as well as silver. And these are the folks that can help you do it. These are the folks that I would trust. So give them a ring. They're my friends. You can tell them Trish sent you. 1-866-589-0560. 1-866-589-0560. Or go download their free guide at legacypminvestments.com today. All right, let's dig into this 9.1% read on inflation. Basically, one of the reasons why it went up so much in June was because energy prices are really going up. But even if you strip out food and energy, which strangely these Fed economists like to do, I'm like, wait a second, people actually consume food and energy. So they're pretty relevant, but they like to take it out sometimes. Even if you take it out, you're looking at nearly 6% overall core rate inflation. In other words, prices are going up. They're going way, 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 way up. And the Fed consequently is going to have to move so aggressively. I mean, they did 75 basis points. I think they're going to do another 75. People say, you know, maybe they'll do 50 in September. I wouldn't be surprised to see another 75 in September. And the frustrating thing about all of this is that they should have seen it coming. They didn't, you know, typical. They want to believe their own, you know what, right? Like, and that's the problem. These things become political when they shouldn't be. And I use Janet Yellen as a great example because Janet Yellen over there in Treasury was out there saying, it's transitory, it's transitory, it's transitory. It was like a big lie if you said, hey, wait a second, no, it's not transitory, which I said. And you know why I knew it wasn't transitory? Because these things get embedded, right? When the Social Security checks have to go up because they're keeping pace with the overall inflation rate. When wages have to keep going up, which is great, by the way, but wages have to keep going up. And so these things become embedded into the economy. And that becomes a whole problem in and of itself. And the reason I say that, a lot of people say, well, who cares? What does it matter? You know, if everything's going up in sort of lockstep, why does it matter? It matters if you're trying to save. It matters if you ever want to retire someday. It matters because the value of your dollar is just going down, down, down. Down in that it's not able to buy you as much. Now, on the global scale, you look at the dollar today, it's actually faring a lot better than a whole lot of other countries. In fact, if you're traveling to Europe right now, you're going to get some sweet deals. Sweet, sweet deals, because we're like near parity. You know, we haven't been near parity in a really long time, like a couple decades with the euro. So that's good for travelers out there. But in terms of savers, people that want to one day retire, if you're not able to purchase as much 5 years from now, or even like 6 months from now, as you could today, then that's a problem. And so this is a big deal. You don't want to have inflation that just spirals out of control. You can ask anyone in Latin America about that. I have a lot of friends that have told me some really, really great stories about, for example, how restaurants in Brazil or in Argentina during those really high inflationary times, they'd literally keep changing the price on the menus every single day because the price of everything would keep on going up and there was really no steadiness whatsoever. What is one thing that we expect from our government? It's to help keep our economy steady by reining in inflation. The goal of the Federal Reserve, keep in mind, is to keep inflation low and to try and have very full unemployment, the best employment, rather. You want as many people working as possible. But we're in a messed up situation. And Joe Biden and his third stimulus check that he gave, along with the $1.9 trillion worth of stimulus spending, none of that helps. None of that helps when you combine that with everything else that was going on. And so I suspect this inflation is going to continue to get worse for the foreseeable future. The Federal Reserve will probably completely freak out, try and do more. It won't really be able to cure this the way it wants to with the 75 basis points that it did and the additional 75 basis points that it's probably going to do this month. It won't be able to, because you see, in reality, 9.1% is not the real read. You've heard me talk about this before. The truth about inflation right now is it's actually a whole lot worse. When you look at metrics that we've historically used, it shows you that you're more in the sort of 16, 17, 18% zone as opposed to 9.1%. In fact, that was what I covered on Friday's podcast, the truth about inflation, because it's actually way, way worse. And look, it depends on what you're using, right? If you're trying to travel, airfare prices are up 34%. If you're making eggs every day for breakfast, they're up 33%. And of course, if you're getting yourself to work and have to put gas in your car, that's a big, big deal. The administration is trying to tell you, oh, it's going to get better because gas prices, they came off their highs in the latter part of June. But they're still pretty darn high, guys, okay? Certainly way ahead of where they were a year ago. Certainly way ahead of where they were in 2020. So I suspect the pain is still coming for the foreseeable future. And once we start to see that shift, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm actually way ahead of the curve on these things, like way ahead. I mean, again, if you were listening in July of 2020, I told you this would happen. I said that, you know, it would take time, as it has, and it did, but we were on a trajectory to really mass hyperinflation. And the more the Democrats want to spend, and the more the Federal Reserve wants to print, the more painful it will be for everyday folks. So make sure you're prepared for that. Great to have you here. Again, make sure that you subscribe. Go to my website, trishintel.com, where we have all the latest news and information. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow.